Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, we are keeping an eye on a developing story about the Seattle Mariners from ESPN's Jeff Passan. The Mariners have at least one COVID positive, sources tell ESPN. There's concern within the organization that the relatively low level of vaccination within the clubhouse could be problematic. So no further updates on that right now, including a roster move. So we don't know who the player is or whether or not it's going to be a player that will have to be removed from tonight's lineup. But stay tuned for developments on that story. We'll be keeping an eye on it. Looking around the rest of MLB, MLB is at odds with itself, Jake. That's the conversation we were having the other day with ESPN's Tim Kirkjian, who joined us to talk about his fantastic article. Jake and I read it. DJ read it. If you haven't already, we're going to talk about it a lot today, but you really should check it out. It's about how K, the letter K, is the most destructive force in baseball right now. It's talking about rising, skyrocketing strikeout rates and how it's hurting baseball. In baseball, a sport that is seemingly and surely from the outside so focused on increasing viewership, increasing participation at lower levels, getting people in the stands where safe and where stands are open. And yet their solutions for a very real problem have felt like kind of putting a cork into the wall of the Titanic. You know what I mean, Jake? It feels like you've got a sinking ship.
Yes.
Because it hit an iceberg. And you're like, hey, maybe this like patchwork stuff I have will work. That's not actually the solution. And so we explored some of that with Tim, right? And so let's talk about Tim in cut number 7 saying that part of what's happening with MLB, with games feeling boring, feeling like there's no offense and all these conversations about the shift and people striking out, part of that is the industry's fault in cut 7.
Things have changed. It's not, you know, it's okay to K now, where when Nolan Ryan pitched and a lot of other people played and pitched, it was not okay to strike out. And the rate has gone up, but I repeat, it's because the industry has allowed this to happen. This isn't even the fault of our hitters. They're told, they're encouraged, they're incentivized to play and swing this way, which is why we have this many strikeouts and 6 no-hitters this early.
Now, the other one that stood out to me when you look at Tim Kirkjian is talking about how the great Nolan Ryan, the K King himself,
literally leader in all-time strikeouts,
is embarrassed by the sport. Here's Tim talking about that.
He has kind of lost the feel for the game today. He doesn't enjoy watching all these strikeouts, and neither does anybody else other than a few pitchers here or there. But Nolan Ryan said back when he played, you know, the ultimate embarrassment, as he said, was going back and putting your own helmet in the bat rack, which means you struck out. And now it happens all the time, and he just doesn't see where the hitters are embarrassed by it anymore. It used to be that way, but that has changed in the last 20, 15, 10, and especially the last 5 years.
Sorry, that huge noise that you heard during that cut.
Stacy lost
a fight with the mic there for a second. The mic came and
blast.
Just a huge right hook to the face.
It hurt me.
When your phone just went haywire yesterday.
I slammed my finger into the mic, and then Jake just had this look on his face like, tough stuff.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself. But okay. Look, Tim Kirkjian saying the K-King, Nolan Ryan, is looking at it and saying, this is gross. Like, you know, DJ, you asked the question yesterday, is the no-hitter cool anymore? And I was like, yeah, I think it's still a big deal. Yeah, it's still a big deal. But after hearing the great Nolan Ryan become frustrated with the amount of strikeouts and what you've seen with the game, that totally changed my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's saying that's an issue, then we've got a real issue going on right now. And look, you could talk about the strategy of the game. It's not that big of a deal to strike out anymore because, look, that's the strategy of the game. I'm okay giving up a strikeout, but if I get 30, 40 home runs, I'm being taught that that's winning baseball. Mm-hmm. And it might very well be. But in terms of the overall entertainment value of the sport, I don't think it's good for the game. And that's not a 60-plus-year-old, you know, fan and purist of the sport. I'm you know, 29.
For now.
Okay, 29. I'm in my 20s for at least one more month.
For a month.
Okay, and I'm going to hold on to that dearly. So I'm in my 20s, and I'm saying that the entertainment value of the game is not where it needs to be. Like, there's a problem. And if a no-hitter, a monumental moment for a pitcher, one of the greatest achievements that you can have, is not cool anymore, you got a problem. You got a problem with the you know, the hitting approach that teams are taking in baseball right now.
Now, I do love the conspiracy theory coming from the Mac and Jack's text line of, well, maybe Nolan Ryan doesn't want anyone touching a strikeout record. Yeah, like that maybe that's part of it. But Tim also, in addition to talking with Nolan Ryan, talked to Aaron Boone, talked to a couple people currently in the game, you found that sound from Don Mattingly, who is talking about, and this is someone talking right now in baseball about how the game has become unwatchable.
Strikeouts are at an all-time high, things like that. So it tells you that there are some issues within the game that need to be addressed. And they're going to take a while, because this started 15, 16 years ago with, you know, the swing changes and the philosophy changes with all the, you know, the analytics of the three-run homer and all that stuff. And so it's been coming and it's been building. And now we're at a point where I think it's getting so much more attention, because it's just a game that sometimes is unwatchable. You know, you see guys you talk to and they don't even like watching games because there's nothing that goes on in them.
I mean, imagine being an older player, a player who's out of baseball now, looking back.
Legendary.
And you know what I'm saying? A legendary player. And you're looking back and saying, there's no singles, there's no bunting, there's no doubles, there's no triples. We all know there are, but comparatively, it is a different game. People are striking out, not just more often. I'm talking like, you'll have guys strike out 4 or 5 times every at-bat in a game.
Yeah.
In a game. That never used to happen, ever. You'll have guys put up, I mean, look at the Mariners, who have 400 strikeouts to 200-something hits. Right?
Yeah.
And it is not weird to have a team be striking out more than they're hitting. Like, that happens. And what I think people in baseball and out of baseball are worried about is that baseball isn't going to be able to right its ship. That you have, on the one hand, this elite level pitching talent that is so fun to watch. It is fun to watch these guys.
It's
their stuff
crazy.
Is nasty. How many conversations have we had with coworkers, with each other, about like, oh man, that guy was on fire.
Yeah.
But you got to have offense be able to balance that, and you aren't having that right now. And MLB is trying to speed up pace of play to get people interested, while at the same time incentivizing a style of play that's keeping people away from the game.
Right. And it used to be the thought process, so, okay, well, we took away steroids from the game of baseball, and that was at its peak because of why? Because of the home run explosion that you saw with Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, and they tried to manufacture that. Okay, well, obviously steroids isn't a good thing, but we want to have home runs be a part of the sport, right? Sabermetrics also says that this is a great way to win, but ultimately you're ruining the entertainment value of the game, and you're seeing it go so far the other way. So hearing Kirchen describe how dominant pitcher stuff is right now, hearing him describe how batters have been trained to accept strikeouts and have this new approach to the plate, right, that is, you know, not just detrimental to the entertainment value, but detrimental to batting average and on-base percentage and all that, and how the changes might not happen till the next generation.
Meaning kids that are in Little League now.
Yeah.
He doesn't mean when that next group of prospects.
No. An entire generation. That, to me, that last line of Kirchen, like, that's unacceptable. He might be right, but to me, that's unacceptable. If you want to remain the longevity of Major League Baseball remaining a popular sport, that has to change in a hurry. And so, like, what are the alternatives here? Mm-hmm. And I think it's very much worthwhile exploring the change of rules to the easiest solutions, which is to eliminate or limit, maybe not eliminate it altogether, but to limit the shift and or give incentives to players for lack of strikeouts and batting average. I think that those two things would probably be the easiest transitions to where you could see guys then take that next step and change that approach to the way that they're doing it right now. And one of the other things that's really fascinating to me, Stacey, is we really think about it, is that you've seen an evolution, a revolution, so to speak, of the way the pitchers have approached baseball and how they're approaching everything and the way that the hitters are approaching baseball. And right now, the pitchers are winning. They are flat out winning right now. And this new approach that hitters are taking, although they are, you're seeing more, you know, balls flying out of the park, they are taking a major hit. And I don't think hitters as a whole, this new approach is the healthiest thing for winning overall and obviously, as we keep saying, entertainment value. I think that in these revolutions, that analytics-wise, pitchers have won this battle greatly, and now it's time for hitters to really, truly make an adjustment.
From the 360, aren't pitchers cheating also? Which, this is kind of what we're saying about those ideas of small band-aids for big problems. The league does have a focus this year on paying closer attention to the possible use of foreign substances for pitchers. Like, that was an area of focus. But that doesn't solve the bigger issue. Like, the part of the problem is stuff that on its face makes the game better. Like, pitchers can throw harder and faster. Velocity is today what it never was in years past. A foreign substance isn't going to, like, necessarily change that overall. Like, that's not happening because a bunch of guys are using pine tar. That's happening because athletes in baseball are just different than they used to be.
Well, they're putting different focus, right? Science is better than it's ever
There's
been.
There's all kinds of stuff. Specialization. You have Tommy John.
I've been down to, you know, Driveline Baseball, their facility right here in Kent. It's one of the premier, if not the premier, pitching academy in all of baseball right now. I mean, you know, Trevor Bauer went there and really changed his style and really improved his game. But you go down there and you talk with those guys, and you know, they have the 3D motion capture labs and they have it down to a science, how your body moves, how your spin rate, how you can change, how you can improve your pitches, mm-hmm. and how you can build up your arm. And the science behind the pitching is just incredible, absolutely incredible. Whereas launch angles and all that, although it may lead to more home runs, I think it's put more of a detriment to the overall hitter and their talent and ability to be able to hit consistently and get on base consistently, which makes it more fun for fans to watch.
Do you think there's like a happy medium? Like, you're not going to make pitchers less good.
No, I don't think that you're going to do that, and I'm right there with
Kirchin. I like your suggestion of incentivizing. Yeah, both you and Tim.
You have to find a way, and I know that there's, you know, plenty of people out there that say don't limit the shift. It's on the batters to make the adjustment. Yes, I do agree with you 1,000%. The problem is that we're seeing this generation of hitters. They don't care. Why? Because it's about the home run, DJ. Right. Like, why would I care about the shift when I'm not even trying to beat the shift? I'm trying to hit home runs, right? I mean, that to me is what you're having a problem with baseball. There's no incentive for them to actually work on trying to beat the shift and get on base. It's about home runs. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem that I think we're seeing with baseball.
It's a conversation that we could have for hours, but we got to get to some NFL headlines quickly. Before we do that, though, do not forget, it is not too late to enter to win a 710 ESPN Seattle smart speaker at 710sports.com/win. That is 710sports.com/win. We're still giving them away every day in the month of May. I ask you guys every day, how many days are in May?
30.
How many days? No, DJ, we've been over this. There are 31. 31 days in May.
I don't think the 31st day really matters.
31 is the most important day in May. We need to talk about this more often.
It's an easy day that we can just knock right off the calendar.
Then all you'll have to do is say, hey, smart speaker, play 710 ESPN Seattle to your brand new smart speaker, and you can listen to our shows all day long. So again, your chance to win a 710 ESPN Seattle logoed smart speaker at 710sports.com/win. It is time to get to some NFL headlines. Let's dive right in here. Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians says he has no plans to retire soon. So great news for the Bucs, bad news for the rest of the NFL, in particular the NFC. He's not going anywhere. He also had something interesting to say when given the possibility of coaching a young quarterback whenever Tom Brady retires, whether next year, whether in 2051, who can say? Quote, I could get extremely excited about having another young quarterback and going to war with one. I'll be honest with you, I'd be excited to take Blaine Gabbert to war because I love Blaine Gabbert. I think he's the most underrated player in the NFL. So yeah, when it's not fun, then it will be time to move on from Brady, that is.
Yeah, this is not the first time that I've heard this.
About Blaine Gabbert?
About Blaine Gabbert.
Really?
That there is a strong belief in Blaine Gabbert with the Bucs. That this guy is incredibly talented. I mean, he's a high first-round pick. I mean, you look at him and his build. He is ripped up, physically gifted, and with Bruce Arians' system, maybe it is a fit. Maybe it is something that could work out in the long term. I have my doubts that that would be the case, but I'm not surprised to see this quote from Bruce Arians because I've heard from many people behind the scenes that there is this underlying belief that Gabbert could have a really nice career there in Tampa if Tom Brady moves on after this season, which would just be mind-blowing. But I think that when you're Bruce Arians, you know, at this stage of the game, and he's talking about the fun factor, and we saw this with Chris Peterson when he felt like at UW that the enjoyment of his just everyday life and that the walls and the box was closing in around him, as he said, then it was time for him to get out. And I think for Bruce Arians, he's done a lot in this league. If it's not fun anymore, then why bother with it? You don't need it. You've accomplished a lot in this league. You have a Super Bowl ring, you know, to attach to your career now. And I think that it'll be really interesting with Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask now, what that backup plan will look like. But right now, Tom Brady's probably going to play to his 50s. That's how it's going right now.
Now, I do have a question related to related to Arians, related to Brady. Is it just me, or have both become more likable since going to the Bucs?
Bruce Arians?
Arians. I already liked Arians, but Arians and Brady, more likable since going to the Bucs. And I don't know, here's the thing. Part of that is because of Tom Brady's Twitter game. I don't know if he's got an intern that's tweeting for him, or if he's doing it himself, or if he's got a joke writer, but it has made him more likable.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady, I really liked him. It's been like five years now.
Yeah, you've come around.
I've really come around on Brady and have stopped becoming a hater because of the Patriots, and just really appreciate what he's done and the special things that he has done. I mean, we're witnessing the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
And it's not going to last forever, so enjoy it. The other part, you know, with Bruce Arians, I'm sorry, he still gets me. He still gets me.
Is it his transition lenses and pageboy cap?
I like Bruce Arians. I think that he's one of the greatest excuse makers of all time. It was hardly ever him. He is one of those guys. He's a front runner. When things are good, oh, it's Bruce Arians. He's great. He's this, that, and the other.
Yeah. Coach
and when
the
things
year.
Are bad, he'll find the craziest excuses to explain away why the team is struggling, and it has nothing to do with him.
I'm trying to think of a time he did that, and I can't think of one.
He's done. Oh, how about the time that he complained here in Seattle when he was Arizona? The locker was shut. He couldn't get out. Or, you know, that it was raining. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that Bruce Arians is throwing out there.
Bruce. It just makes me love him more. All right, Lions quarterback coach Mark Brunell thinks Detroit, will catch the league off guard, just like his 1996 Jaguars did. How old were you in 1996, DJ? Remind me.
I was 1 year old.
That's exactly right. Quote, this is from Brunell. Going into 96, the expectations were really low, and so all we heard was maybe get to 500, maybe win 5 or 6 games. A lot of inexperience, a lot of lack of talent, and this and that. We actually started out that season. In the first 11 games, we were 4-7, and then we turned it around. So my point is saying that what we were is a team that people didn't give much of a chance to do anything. It kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? So, Jake, can Detroit be that team? They got a new quarterback.
It's a great...
new quarterback.
Mark, it's a great story. Like, it's a great story, and that's a great moment in history that you have. That's fantastic. And you keep telling that to your guys, and you keep pumping that story to your guys, and build that confidence and that self-belief, and... You know, it's us against the world. I'm all for it, okay? Not knocking it. But that's not happening with Detroit this season. I'm sorry. That's not going to happen.
I think that people overestimate how talented Goff can be and underestimate what Stafford can be in L.A. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. And if I'm wrong about that, I'm going to go in and delete this from all records, what mm-hmm. I've just said.
Yeah.
I think Stafford is going to be a huge upgrade over Goff. And I think that a lot of Goff's success was tied to what McVay was able to let him do here in LA.
Agreed.
And I think people see him go to Detroit and they think, like, great, that's awesome. You guys downgraded at quarterback.
Yeah, in a pretty tough situation. And you're also building for the next 5 years. You're doing a rebuild project with Dan Campbell as your head coach. You're not trying to necessarily win now. The organization would actually, I believe, prefer not to win over the next couple seasons so that you can continue to have high draft picks with this group and then start hopefully winning in year three, four, and five under Dan Campbell. That's how I view them, you know, trying to build this thing out. And I don't have any expectations for Detroit.
Now, what if they bite off enough kneecaps?
Take in the calcium and it kind of makes you stronger.
Or you just make sure they just don't have enough players to put out on the field.
Or you bring a lion to the game.
Yeah, like Dan Campbell
intimidate
suggested.
Intimidate the other people. Wait a minute. Wait. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Could be onto something. Here's the thing.
DJ, you bring up a great point.
And I mean this. Depending on what Justin Fields looks like, and depending on whether Aaron Rodgers is actually under center, I might be buying this. If Justin Fields isn't doing well and he's really struggling and they don't have much around him, and if Aaron Rodgers is gone, it gets a little more intriguing.
Maybe the kneecaps work. Biting off those kneecaps. You might knock us down and we're gonna bite off some kneecaps. You might take us down and we're going to bite off your other kneecap. And then you're going to take them down for the third time.
And we'll we'll find someone else's kneecap.
No, that's not what you said, Stacey. You got to sear that quote into your brain. They come up and take out a hunk of you.
Is there a quote that you've had in your brain forever since you've heard it and you say it all the time? Mine was, this is forever ago, I don't know if you guys will remember it, but it was like a Miss Teen South Carolina, and she said, in places like such as the Iraq. I say that all the time and I can't stop it. It's been a part
that's
of
one
me.
Of the great viral videos
it's
of all time.
Amazing.
Mario Lopez just sitting there like, oh,
and I actually feel bad for her because she did interviews since then where she was like, I was bullied. In hindsight, you're like, absolutely. Like, this was a meaning you were a teenager and shouldn't have been treated this way. That said, the quote still stuck with me and I say it all the time. All the time. All right. We talked for a bit in the timeline, Jake, about some sound from Pete Carroll on with Rich Eisen. Well, he had even more to say. We're going to play it for you next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
All right, you guys can start sending your questions in already if you want for What I Need to Know. That's coming up in 15 minutes. 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line. What I Need to Know coming your way in 15 minutes. Before we get to that, Pete Carroll was on with Rich Eisen earlier today and obviously had plenty to say about Russell Wilson and all the drama that unfolded this offseason. So let's go ahead and get started with, obviously, first question he's asked, are you and Russ in a good place? Cut 9.
Yeah, well, it seems like really old news to talk about this because it's been such a long time. The little bit that he said carried so much airtime that it became bigger than life. Throughout the whole process, Russell, we've always been connected. We've always been talking. We've never not been in communication, and we weren't at all at this time either. A couple things that came out got magnified, and the questions came out, and there was a couple things. You know, he was frustrated when he was talking, just like any of us can sometimes emphasize something that's, you know, on the top of our mind, and it can be played differently than it really played itself out.
It is Pete Carroll's job to smooth this all over, and he is one of the best at doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's as a member of the media that
Excellent.
I feel this way, but I'm sorry, it was not a small deal. You had the quarterback of a team come out and say, now he didn't throw teammates under the bus per se, but come out and say, yeah, I've been sacked a ton. I'd like to be sacked less. I'd like to be hit less. Mm-hmm. And we need to be better at that. Use careful to use the term we. Now, is it something I would have done? No. Like, I wouldn't have come out and said it. Do I blame him for saying it? No. The offensive line had been an issue for this team for the better part of a decade, certainly the last several years. It was a story. Like, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was a big deal for a while because we kept seeing all kinds of things. And I'm sorry, when your agent comes out to correct a story and rather than saying Russ didn't ask for a trade, says, here are four teams that he'd be fine with, though. That's not a small story.
Yeah, that isn't a small story. And that is a – look, I think that what Pete Carroll's speaking to is the fact that, look, behind the scenes, we have had conversations. We've worked this out.
Which is
I
great.
Think that's what he's, yeah. that's ultimately yeah. what he's speaking to. Now, the topic of, hey, nothing to see here. Like, yeah. there was absolutely
What's
nothing
over there
to
in
see
Green
here.
Bay?
Well, yeah. Hey, you see those, you see Aaron Rodgers right now? Green Bay's got a problem right
How
now.
About the
Lakers? We're totally fine. This is old news, Stacey. There was a problem. There was an issue. There's no doubt about it. And I think to go that far, I think it puts a lot of people at ease. And I think Pete Carroll, as you said, does an excellent job of smoothing things over. That's when I initially heard their press conference. I thought that from Pete Carroll, John Schneider perspective, I thought they handled it pretty well, right?
Mm-hmm.
About as good as they could have handled it. Do I think it was perfect? No, but from their perspective, I thought they handled it well. And taking this approach, I think is smart. And also taking to the human side of Russell Wilson and saying, look, he was frustrated. There's no doubt about that he was frustrated about a particular situation. Emotions were hot. Things were running hot at the moment, and that's what it was. That's a way of Pete Carroll being able to smooth things over and say, look, you know, he was a frustrated guy in the moment, and he voiced his opinion in the moment. Would I have liked him to not do that? Yes, and we've worked through it. Ultimately, this was a story, and ultimately it is still something to keep an eye on because I think that as you go through this process, this didn't happen by accident. Russell Wilson is a guy that doesn't just say things by accident. And so as you move forward, they are in a much, much better place, and I'm glad that they're in that place moving forward. But it wasn't like we created something that wasn't there. Not even close.
Yeah, no, not at all. There is the question of how involved Russell as a 10-year vet will be with Shane Waldron, with the game planning, how open Pete Carroll will be to his opinions. Pete was asked about that by Rich. This is what he had to say. Cut 10.
So how much does he have now? He doesn't have any more than he's ever had. I've respected the heck out of Russ for all of the reasons that he has proven he's worthy. And so when I get a chance to get something from him that can help me out, I'm going to him. I don't hesitate to do that. And I'll do it with any of our guys. Doug Baldwin was a guy. Richard Sherman was guys. I would talk to those guys about scheme, personnel, situations, times, social issues. I mean, you name it. You know, and that's the kind of program that we have run around here. So I don't think it should be overplayed, and I don't think it should be misstated either. Russ has a lot of good information, and so I go to him when I think it's appropriate, and he'll bring ideas at times to me just to try them out.
To that quote, I can confirm that that is true. Like that is very true. That in the past, there has always been conversation that has been there with those guys, with Russell Wilson in particular, about things that go on and asking, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You know, Russell Wilson coming and approaching Pete Carroll and saying, hey, here's what I think, you know, we should do, or here's an idea that I have that I think can make us better. And there's been that open line of communication back and forth. Now the question, and I think that the other part of this is that it's not the part of whether or not they're communicating. It's about whether or not they feel like they're in the same vision. It's one thing, Stacey, to feel like you have a conversation. You talk to me about something that you have, you know, strong desires about, that you want to see fixed or changed in our show, whatever the case may be. And I sit here and tell you, yeah, 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 I got you. Yeah, we're on alignment. And then we get to game day, we get to 11-2, and I do something completely different from what we talked about, then, you know, if that keeps happening, eventually that's going to get you frustrated.
Now, the one thing that is different there is that you and I are coworkers or co-hosts, and I am older and wiser. The difference here is that Carroll is the coach.
Wiser, debatable.
And Pete Carroll is the coach. And so I think that transparency is important, and I hear people all the time, well, what does it matter? He's the player, Pete's the boss. And it's like, yeah, but transparency with the franchise guy, that's what got Green Bay in trouble with Aaron Rodgers right now. But Pete Carroll doesn't have to listen. He is still the coach.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. He doesn't. And I think that that part of it is important. But when it comes to what we witnessed, right, what we witnessed and what the problem was, what was the issue? It was the amount of times I've been hit. And I know that I contribute to that. But we've also, you know, from an offensive line perspective, we struggled there before. And we struggled there over the last few years. And I want to see that change. I want us to change the way that we go about, you know, acquiring players and those types of things. Not necessarily saying, I want you to go select A, B, C, and D, and you got to do what I want you to do.
Or I'll be mad.
Right. It's we got to look at our approach. Look at where it's gotten us, right? And over the last five seasons in particular, there's been some rough patches. Now, they make a big change by going and trading for Gabe Jackson. I mean, they're spending the most that they've ever spent in a player that has not been with the team before, right? So Gabe Jackson being an outside free agent at $9 million per year is the most that they have spent on an outside free agent. Isn't that crazy to think about? Like,
I'm like racking my brain to think, like, how much was Luke Jokel? That was a couple years ago, though.
Yeah.
It was just different.
So, you know, that's a big deal at the offensive line position. They went and traded Jimmy Graham. He was $10 million per year. But Gabe Jackson, offensive line, $9 million per year. That's the highest that they've ever done. So they changed a little bit, right? But I think that part of it is the way that they were looking at it and having the same conversation going back and forth and nothing really changing or being any different. I think that's where the friction point was. But they've had definitely an open line of communication over the years, no doubt about that.
All right. It is that time of the show. We turn to you guys on the Mac and Jack's text line to, I guess, lead the conversation yourself to figure out where we want to go with this. It's what I need to know. Send in any questions you have. Seahawks, Mariners, which have dominated the conversation today. It could be anything else. We've got all kinds of weird questions for what I need to know. Sometimes those are my favorites. So what I need to know, send them in now. 710-710. That's right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. As a quick update, so that you guys know, we are keeping track of the story, the report from Jeff Passan of ESPN that the Mariners have a positive COVID result. We do not know who the player is. We do not know what changes have been made to the lineup as of yet, but at 710 ESPN Seattle, we will obviously be glued to that story. So Jake and I are wrapping up in about 10 minutes, but Wyman and Bob coming your way next. They're also watching for updates there. Now for the questions, send those in 710-710. Let's go ahead and get started. What is the football equivalent of a no-no? This is a great question, and I don't know that I have an answer because I don't know that there is one.
It's a shutout.
A shutout, but it's not. It's what's hard is that a no-no you can place on one pitcher. A shutout is just like, what a dominant performance from that team.
Right, but there's really, I mean, in the NFL, there's really no equivalent because it's not as individual like that. I mean, it's the ultimate team sport.
There is no equivalent.
And to be honest, a no-no, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a no-hitter, like, that also comes, it's not just the pitcher. I mean, you got the defense behind him making plays and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
you know, you do.
Yeah, so I think a shutout, to me, is the equivalent of a no-no because obviously, you're going to give up a first down. Like, you can't go a whole entire game without, you know, giving up a first down at some point. But a shutout's pretty impressive.
It is the closest you can possibly get. Ultimately, a shutout doesn't become like a quarterback stat. Whereas you go on Justin Verlander's page and it's going to say 3 no-hitters or 2, however many he's had. I think 3.
Right.
We talked about this the other day. Need to know. Do you think there should be more celebrations in baseball? Yes, I think there should be more attitudes in baseball. In fact, someone texted in earlier today and made a joke about Service getting ejected for Bold Take Friday Mariners prediction. And Jake, you said that you would kind of want to see that. Like, what's the mark of a good team? You said the mark of the Mariners having kind of made it is what?
I think it's Jared Kelnick. The moment that Jared Kelnick sparks an all-out brawl for this team, I think will mark this team that they have changed their culture. That Kelnick starts something and that this team has enough stuff to them that they're willing to fight. I think that is going to be the mark of this team being competitive and tough, and that they're not willing to back down from anybody. I'll be fired up when I see that. Just like we witnessed DK Metcalf sparking some fights and not backing down from anybody, kind of reestablish that tough culture.
Does it matter what team it happens against? Because for me, it does.
Really?
Oh, really?
It matters for you.
Which team does it matter against? Oh, well, yeah.
It has to be the Astros.
And they've got a lot of attitude, too, so you know if you're getting under their skin.
I can dig that.
Do you see that crazy stat from Larry Stone that the Mariners are like 1-25 versus A.J. Hinch-led team? Something insane like that.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't like it. I'm not a fan of that stat. It's a crazy stat. Not a fan.
I'm with you. Start a brawl with the Astros. We're turning this thing around on the spot.
And it needs to be Kelnick versus Bregman.
Yes.
It needs to be the one that happens first.
What I need to know, what terrible gift have you gotten that you've had to keep?
I can't think of one, but here's something that my wife does that I think is genius. Look, if you get a gift that you've already gotten before, obviously it's easy to return it, but look, if you're in a position where you don't need more stuff, just to have stuff, the best thing that you can do and that my wife does is she re-gifts it. So if it's something that she doesn't like or something that, you know, she's already has something of, she re-gifts it. That way we don't have to buy somebody else another gift.
If I ever get a blender from you guys, I'm going to know exactly what happened there. I'm going to know exactly what present someone got Brooke.
Here,
and
Stacey,
I'm going to be like, you know what? Thank you.
Here's some silverware.
I will take that. Yeah. Stacey, here's a crib.
Here's
some baby clothes.
Yeah, here's some wind chimes.
Yeah. What?
Have fun.
This makes no sense. And you guys just leave. Bye.
Enjoy.
Let's see. Our Mike Salk, what I need to know, are Mike Salk and Jake Heaps the automatic 710 softball team captains? Great question. The answer is no.
They're really?
I am.
Okay.
Well, I get to be manager. I'm not playing. That's why I'm making myself captain.
There you go.
That's the big point of that is I'm manager.
Although I do firmly believe that as everything opens up, we do need to start a 710 softball team. I think that has to happen.
I'm busy that day.
Well, Stacey, we haven't decided when that's going to be
yet. I thought you mentioned. I'm going to the next question.
Okay.
What I need to know.
It would be really fun. I think we've got it. I think we would put together a pretty good squad.
Will you or someone at 710 ESPN Seattle ever do a fantasy sports show? I don't know, but I will say Maura Dooley, who produces for Danny and Gallant and then Paul Gallant's show, and she does her college football insiders, all kinds of cool stuff during the season. She has a fantasy sports web series that she posts with. Advice for like sleeper picks and lineup changes, and she does it regularly, like weekly, and she is in a league with me, and there have been times when I have used her advice before she's gotten to it and then like won, and it's felt really satisfying. She's great at it. She dominates our league every year. It's awful.
I have not been able to do it, Stacey. You want to know why? Because it changes the way you watch the games.
It does.
You cannot,
it changes
like,
who you root for.
It does, but it also changes, like, you're not watching the game anymore. You are hyper-focused on the one player that you have, and that's all you care about. You don't care about the wins and losses. You just care about whether that player gets you the stats or not, right? Like, you're so mad. Like, think about it. Seahawks game, it doesn't matter if they won, as long as just, come on, DK Metcalf, give me the points I need. I did it for a year, changed the way I watched it, and I couldn't do it. I haven't done it ever since.
Had to go back.
Yeah.
Listen to this one. We were talking about re-gifting and how you have to do that. Someone from the 509 says, my wife and I got a set of coffee mugs from the Bon Marché. Not Macy's, but the Bon Marché. Ultimate re-gift. That's the ultimate re-gift from like 20 years ago.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes,
that's
and someone
amazing.
Said, congratulations, Jake. You just described Boxing Day. No, 931, it is a lifestyle.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Need just a day to do that. It is birthdays. It's holidays. It's, you know, everything available. If I have something that I can't return for whatever reason, I didn't return it in time, guess what? Re-gift.
That's your gift now. That's your present.
I'm re-gifting.
I need to leave you guys with one question because I think it's going to start an important and, I think, justifiable feud between shows right now. On the morning show, this mm-hmm. is from a texter, Danny said people that like Cap'n Crunch are crazy. True or false?
Whoa.
Yeah. That's yeah. absolutely false. I don't know what Danny is doing. I don't know who hurt him.
Danny who I love?
Yeah, more like Danny who? I'm sorry. I don't know a Danny anymore after this.
We're beefing. Because
we are
Cap'n Crunch,
beefing.
Crunch Berries are one of the greatest series of all time.
I'm going to take him to sports court over this. It's not sports related, but it is a violation of some kind of law. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
How can you hate
yet.
On Cap'n Crunch Crunch Berries?
It's one of
Come
the
on.
Best cereals ever. Cap'n Crunch. Peanut butter, the berries, every brand of it is amazing. I'm flabbergasted. I'm truly appalled. All right, that'll do it for us today. He is Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. DJ Wilder on the board. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.